Hello, fellow companions on this journey of life and faith. My name is Renee Antrosio, and it is my great privilege to serve this fellowship as a pastor, to experience joys and sorrows together, to trust and doubt and learn and hope as we grow and struggle and experience grace and forgiveness. We often talk about faith as a journey, and today's Bible passage describes Abram setting out on his journey of faith, his development and relationship with God over the course of a lifetime. With my undergraduate degree in cultural anthropology and courses in psychology and human development as part of my training as a clinical social worker, the language of journey as development resonates with my education and experience of the world. The language of journeying is used often in both the Hebrew Bible and the Christian scriptures. Genesis 12, which Julian read for us, begins with God calling Abram to leave all that is familiar on an adventure of faith in relationship with Yahweh. When I began preparing for today, I was sitting with the lectionary scriptures, reading them in the waiting room while my husband Jubal was in surgery getting his rotator cuff repaired. In the last couple of teachings, we've been talking about faith and doubt, bringing our questions to God, and how Jesus comes near to us in our doubts, opening the doorway to deeper love. And so, keeping these ideas alive and relevant in our everyday lives, many of us have been experiencing doubt afresh, which is often unpleasant and destabilizing, even as it invites us to move into new stages of faith. But are there really stages of faith? Or do writers like Brian McLaren just make that up as a framework to explain their experiences? Unlike the stages of emotional, psychological, and physical development, many people in religion seem to remain in the beginning of faith, which seems to belie the whole stage theory. Helpful for some of us to understand our own development, perhaps, but not universally descriptive of human faith trajectory. So I hold stage theories lightly, a tool I can pick up or put down as needed when helpful. And I was surprised to find that the phrase that jumped out to me in the waiting room when I was reading today's lectionary passage was, "And Abram journeyed on by stages," Genesis 12:9. What an interesting turn of phrase, "and Abram journeyed on by stages." Of course, there are many English translations, and when I compared a whole slew of them side by side, expressing the meaning a little differently, I saw this theme of journey and continuing on, and stages of travel and rest, and pitching tents and building altars for worship. This tale of the father of nations and faiths, first composed as oral history thousands of years ago, to be later written down as a founding story about the beginning of a people following God, still serves as an inspiring illustration of our own journeys of faith and developmental stages. And depending on where we are in our relationship with God and written scripture and understanding how that speaks to us, we may have various problems with this passage. Perhaps we are disturbed by the math that doesn't match our understanding of human life expectancy throughout history. Perhaps the language of blessings and curses sets our teeth on edge. Perhaps we are tripped up by the realization that Abram acquired servants and took them along, with or without their consent. Perhaps the notion of divinely sanctioned land acquisition that dispossesses other peoples is highly problematic for us. Or we wonder how much of this could be accurate in our 21st century American English understanding of history and facts. Maybe all these things and more make this passage difficult for us to focus on the theme of journeying by stages as a metaphor that the Holy Spirit might use to speak into our life right now. I hear you. How we feel about various biblical writings can be a reflection of our own current stage of faith and doubt. Whether we are experiencing a season of simplicity, complexity, perplexity, or harmony, as Brian McLaren names them in Faith After Doubt. And I will be using as an aid to walk us through this story and our stories. I am not going to resolve these difficulties into a tidy package so that we can breathe a collective sigh of relief that the teacher has answered all the questions and we can go on our ways with empty, unclouded minds. I am grateful to know that people of faith have been wrestling with these questions and many more for centuries, have written countless books about them, and have come through to a continued trust in God, our Creator's mysteries, in the love demonstrated through Jesus, and the inspiration and comfort of the Holy Spirit's presence with us. I also acknowledge that for many people, these difficulties and others have been stumbling blocks that cause them to walk away from the Bible as a source of truth. And I think there are insights from the story of Abram that can speak into our own journeys of faith as we move through different stages of our own lives. So as we contemplate Abram's journey and our own, I am encouraged by a verse from the prophet Hosea, which was also assigned as part of today's lectionary reading. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. Hosea 6:3. I'd like to think about the story of Abram in terms of the stages of faith, where he first responds to God's call on his life by saying yes, setting out on the journey as the stage of simplicity. Genesis 12:1-2 and 4a. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. This first stage is when we respond to God's invitation to change our lives, to say yes to God's leading, to begin our journey of faith. This season is characterized by a focus on choosing between right and wrong, belonging to a community of faith, understanding God as supreme, almighty, wanting to please God in our actions, being highly committed and willing to sacrifice our comfort in order to obey. This stage that McLaren calls simplicity is important and beautiful. Perhaps you recall the joy of new faith, discovering a community of believers, your assurance of God's love and goodness, and your new understanding of your belovedness as a child of God. I remember asking Jesus to come into my heart as a young child and knowing that he was with me, a certainty of love and relationship. I remember choosing to be baptized and that joy of saying yes and solidifying that commitment with my family of faith. I'd like to structure this teaching with prayers that echo the strengths of each stage of faith, starting with a return to the beauty of simplicity, the first stage that we move through and return to again in different ways. This prayer focuses the attitude of the heart on being here, of thanks, and of awe. So I invite you to settle yourself as I lead us through these postures of prayer. Here. Enter into this moment. Rest, and open ourselves to God, this mystery beyond our understanding. Receive the love, joy, peace, and wisdom we need. Be present and open ourselves to the presence that surrounds us and inhabits us. Thanks. Cultivate gratitude. Resist greed and become attentive to the blessings that are with us. Appreciation brings happiness. Celebrate the blessings that are already ours for free. Awe. Open our hearts to the wonder that is beyond words. Experience humble reverence and worship in a spirit of awe and devotion. This is the beginning of the story, Abram's journey and ours. And then it gets more complicated. Hardships enter our lives. We make choices that don't always seem faithful. We take different paths, try to solve our problems with our own wisdom. Continuing in Genesis 12, from where Julian had left off, verses 10 through 13, when a famine struck the land, Abram went down toward Egypt to live as an immigrant, since the famine was so severe in the land. Just before he arrived in Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know you are a good-looking woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but let you live. So tell them you are my sister, so that they will treat me well for your sake, and I will survive because of you." This is not on the highlight reel. One of the great strengths of the Hebrew Bible is that it doesn't dress up our heroes as perfect. When we look at our lives, we too see decisions that were not our best. Times of hardship, moments of failure, when God seems far away. The famine is severe. We are just trying to survive. These are seasons of a different stage of faith, what McLaren calls complexity. Complexity is marked by focus on success or failure, being free and achieving goals. It is a time of taking action. We make mistakes, but help is available. We doubt, but it is a problem that can be solved. For me, I think complexity was the stage that probably best describes my college years. I was very involved with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I was also learning a lot in my classes, experiencing the freedom of becoming an adult, making choices that were sometimes excessively confident, making mistakes, and learning and growing, experiencing success and failure. Remembering these times, we will now focus our prayers on the attributes of complexity, of sorry, help, and please. Sorry. As we face, name, and lament our failures, weaknesses, and wrongs, let us see ourselves through God's eyes of truth, mercy, compassion, forgiveness, grace, and full acceptance. Help. As we face our limitations in strength, ability, understanding, and wisdom, let us open ourselves to resources beyond our current capacities. We can state our needs and desires in the presence of God. Please. May we take this sensitivity from facing our own failures, weaknesses, and limitations, and extend this sensitivity to others, joining our compassion with God's compassion in holding the needs and pain of others and of the world. The third stage of faith in this model is that of perplexity. This is a time of focus on authentic, honest experience, seeing through appearances to reality and facing inconvenient truths. We may become cynical or depressed, God seems mysterious and perhaps mythical as we cultivate doubt as a virtue. Can we neatly fit Abram's experience into these stages of faith? Perhaps not exactly, but the stage where Abram questions God and then takes matters into his own hands to provide descendants for himself through his wife's servant Hagar may illustrate this kind of perplexity. Genesis 15, but Abram said, "Lord God, what can you possibly give me since I still have no children?" And then, but Abraham said, "Lord God, how do I know that I will actually possess this land?" In Genesis 16, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took her Egyptian servant Hagar and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He slept with Hagar and she became pregnant. And then in Genesis 17, 15 through 18, God said to Abram, "As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations and kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He said to himself, "Can a 100-year-old man become a father? Or Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, have a child?" To God, Abraham said, "If only you would accept Ishmael." Abraham looks honestly at his experiences, the time that has passed since God promised him, and the reality of his and his wife's old age. And Abraham keeps bringing his questions and doubts and objections to God. This seems a lot like perplexity. In my life, this probably best describes the years after we attended Eastern Mennonite Seminary, when as much as I loved the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, my attempts to stay there seemed repeatedly blocked, while the door to moving to Champaign-Urbana opened easily. After a year of working as a therapist at Cunningham Children's Home, where I met Vern Fine and began attending New Covenant, I became a K-8 guidance counselor at a very different Blue Ridge, the school district of Mansfield and Farmer City. I served in various capacities here in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, leading youth group. But my life moved farther away from ministry to the point that I was no longer attending congregational meetings, as we called them back then, and would leave church early to avoid conversations. I was still in relationship with God, but I was more aloof from fellowship, busy raising my kids and living my life. This was also during the time when my sister was hospitalized for an aggressive tumor that destroyed her hip. And then not long later, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. The prayers of the stage of perplexity are focused on when, no, and why. And so we will take time now to feel these prayers as well, for they are very real and important as a stage of our relationship to God in our struggle to understand and believe. When? In times of uncertainty, grief, and fear, we acknowledge the pain we feel, and even as we hope for it to end, we recognize that there may be lessons to gain while it persists. We pour out our emotions, hoping for relief and preparing ourselves to endure. No, we refuse to deny our pain and we refuse easy answers that explain our pain away. We assert our freedom to be angry at God, with God, at our conceptions of God, at life, at others, at ourselves, and we refuse to let our anger consume us. Why? We acknowledge our feelings of forsakenness and abandonment and unknowing. Perplexity is a hard stage, Like the others, we cycle through it at various points in our lives, and sometimes it seems like we will never come out on the other side, that we will never transition into the stage that Brian McLaren calls harmony. In harmony, we find connections and inclusion. We are compassionate and seek the common good, knowing we are part of a greater whole. We recognize life as a mysterious gift and know God as a loving presence, creative wisdom, known through experience and metaphor. We know that mistakes are an inevitable part of learning and growth, and that doubt is a necessary part of life, a portal from one stage to another. Faith is a humble, reverent openness to the mystery that expresses itself in love. For Abraham, perhaps this is best expressed by the insights into his life many generations later in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, in the passage also assigned for today's reading from Romans chapter 4. So what are we going to say? Are we going to find that Abraham is our ancestor on the basis of genealogy? Because if Abraham was made righteous because of his actions, he would have had a reason to brag, but not in front of God. What does the scripture say? Abraham had faith in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that comes from the faith he had while he still wasn't circumcised. It happened this way so that Abraham could be the ancestor of all those people who aren't circumcised, who have faith in God, and so are counted as righteous. That's why the inheritance comes through faith, so that it will be on the basis of God's grace. In that way, the promise is secure for all of Abraham's descendants, not just for those who are related by law, but also for those who are related by the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. Without losing faith, Abraham, who was nearly 100 years old, took into account his own body, which was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb, which was dead. He didn't hesitate with a lack of faith in God's promise, but he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, this is perplexing. Having just read that Abraham laughed when God said that Sarah would become pregnant, how then does Paul assert that Abraham didn't hesitate and was fully convinced? I think this is very important to our own journeys of faith, so stay with me here. When God looks at our lives, our journeys of faith and doubt, God covers our mistakes and wavering with God's forgiveness. Outside of time, in the summation of our lives, we too are related by faith to Abraham, and it is credited to us as righteousness. God is so much more generous, so much more forgiving, so much more gracious than we are with ourselves and with others. That is the good news that God expressed through his son Jesus, of love and healing and being family with God, covered by the righteousness of God's anointed. And that is the stage of harmony with God, with faith, with ourselves, and with each other. And so we will end with the prayers of harmony, where we behold, say yes, and enter into silence of being with God. Behold, we see what is here, without judgment and without needing to explain or comprehend. Humbled and broken open by perplexity, we find ourselves able to see beyond our old habits of assessing everything in terms of us versus them, good versus bad. We seek to join God in seeing everything with eyes of maturing compassion and love. Yes. We consciously say yes to God and love. We yield ourselves to be instruments of love and peace. Silence. We discover that apart from all our words, we can simply be with God, with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation in harmony, in love. As we conclude, it is fitting that we transition into the song, Everywhere I Go, I See You. This is the beginning of God's revelation in the cloud and the fire, the eagle and the grass and the rivers, and that the word of God, revealed in the person of Jesus as Messiah, is alive to enlighten our eyes to see God everywhere and in everything. In whatever stages of faith and doubt we find ourselves, may we continue to bring our questions and experiences into God's presence. And may we trust that through it all and the faithfulness of Jesus, in the end, it too will be credited to us as righteousness.